mighty today in Christ alone. Our scripture reading today continues the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And on earth, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And now a reading from Isaiah chapter 52. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm glad you're here. Hi. This stand is weird. Hold on. Okay. It's high enough. I can move around. Hi. Hey, it is the Sunday after Christmas and you are here. Congratulations to you all. How many of you were here on Christmas Eve? You're back. Ah, thank you. And thank you for all the volunteers that and staff that made that service happen. My family got to just come and be, and it was beautiful and wild, because my seven-year-old is wild, and he was with us the whole sermon, which, kids, hi, you're going to be here the whole sermon too, so I want to say that there is a wiggle area. Dax Larson is already located there. If you go that way when you go out the doors, if you need to get your wiggles out, not just kids, adults too. Sometimes it gets overwhelming, a little much in here. You are more than welcome to go into that space. Just go that way until you can't and you're in the room. If we haven't met yet, my name is Kylie Larson. I work part-time at St. Luke's as the social media manager, so like, follow, subscribe. It's just at St. Luke's Indy. Really, I mean like, follow, subscribe. My family and I attend here. This is my husband, Phil. Oh, this is my friend, Micah, holding my baby, Finn. And then there's Dax, who is seven. Those are my sons. And I'm still getting used to saying sons. It's still very fun for me. Finn is 2 months old yesterday. He is so cute. Was that him? He says good morning. Or feed me. I don't know. He's saying one of those things. One of my favorite parts of being a mom came to me a little accidentally. I didn't plan on this happening. I think it started the first day of kindergarten, which sending your baby child to kindergarten is terrifying. At least it was for me. I was putting on his socks, and I still do this. Dax is almost 8 years old, and I just gave his feet a little rub. I love rubbing my kids' feet. Might be weird to say, but I'm saying it out loud. For Finn, I started rubbing his feet. Sometimes when he's a little fussy, it helps. Sometimes it doesn't. For Dax, it has become part of our routine every night that I rub his feet. He says I give the best foot rubs. So, something that I started doing ever since that first morning of kindergarten, just quietly to myself as I'm holding their feet, is I start praying for their feet. I pray things like, "God, would you protect and direct this sweet foot? Would you lead this foot to good friends and good decisions? Would you make these feet brave and strong, ready to take this brilliant person everywhere he wants to go and everywhere the world needs him to go? This is our last part of the series where we've been looking at Christmas songs. Of course it is. It would be very weird if we were still talking about Christmas songs in March. But this is the last one today. And our song today is Go Tell It on the Mountain. The song has a long history, and I'm going to share more of it than I probably normally would. History is not something I get super stoked about. But this history, I'm here for. The history of this song, I think, if we would let it, would do more than inform us, it would form us. Let's pray. God, could it be so that as we spend time in your word, among your story, as we spend time learning from people in history who have gone before us, that we wouldn't just hear something interesting, but that we would be changed, that we would be inspired, that we would be drawn to an action that changes the world in the ways that we can. God, I pray that our time together today would feel like a deep breath, like a safe place, and that this community would be one where we could both be healed and grow today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the lyrics of Go Tell It on the Mountain originate from two places in Scripture. The Jesus Christ is born part. Brian, do you want to sing it for us quick?
No.
Oh. Brian, you seemed like a guy who would just sing that. I don't know. That part is from Luke chapter 2. We heard both of the scriptures read this morning, but Luke chapter 2 is where the shepherds see the angels, the multitude of angels in the sky. They hear that Jesus Christ is born, and then they go meet Jesus, and then after that, they go and they tell everyone what they've seen. But the phrase, go tell it on the mountain, the title of the track, reaches even further back than Luke chapter 2. Go tell it on the mountain draws from Isaiah chapter 52. And I'm going to read it again. We already heard it, but I'm going to read this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says, Zion, your God reigns. These words in chapter 52 of Isaiah come to God's people at a time when they are enslaved, and they have been enslaved for years. That chapter 52, before those words, starts like this. Awake, awake, shake yourselves from the dust and rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loosen the bonds from your neck. It goes on to say that Jesus is coming, that God has heard the cries of his people, that God is coming to bring justice, that God is coming to set his people free. And so in this song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, we have these two ideas in Scripture being brought together. We have this idea that Jesus Christ is born, being paired with the idea that when God comes, justice also comes. It's not surprising then that the origin of Go Tell It on the Mountain, the people who put those two thoughts together, are the enslaved people of the American South. That this idea that Jesus equals justice, that the coming of Jesus equals the coming of justice, was created and shared and sung plantation to plantation, generation to generation. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, is here, and that justice is coming. One of the reasons that we sing this song today is a man named John Wesley Work Jr. Here's a picture of him. I was going to make a joke, and then I kept it in. You're welcome. John Wesley Work Jr. was born the son of a choir director in Nashville. And he grew up in church listening to the spirituals like Go Tell It on the Mountain. He was a student of Fisk University and went on to be a professor there in ancient Latin and Greek. But one of the most important things he did is that he decided to start compiling all of these spirituals, which were part of an oral tradition, and recording them. He did this with a group of people at Fisk University. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Fisk. In 1866, Fisk opened in Tennessee with the mission to offer a liberal arts education to all people, regardless of skin color. This is where John Wesley Work Jr. wrote down so many of the African American spirituals that we have access to today. Another reason we are still singing Go Tell It on the Mountain is this group of people. This is the Fisk Jubilee Singers, also from Fisk University. 5 years after Fisk opened, it was in some serious financial trouble, and the closing of its doors felt imminent. And so, as a last-ditch effort, it's kind of like, have you ever seen any Muppets movie? It's a little bit like this is real life, but the stakes are much higher. The treasurer of the university puts together a group of 9 students, formed an a cappella group, gave them the rest of the money, like all of the money the university had, like all of it, to keep the lights on, gave it to these people for room and board, and sent them on a tour of America and Europe. They were the last hope of the school to raise enough money on their tour to keep the doors open. This group left Nashville in 1871. How many of you know about popular music in America in 1871? Oh, weird, no one? I Googled, what songs would we know? Yeah, none, we don't know those songs. There's a few different kinds of popular music in America at this time. There's folk music about rural life. We still have that. There's classical music. There's patriotic songs talking about the memories from the war. And then there's minstrel shows, which were performed in blackface, where white entertainers used makeup, costumes, exaggerated mannerisms to create racist caricatures of black people for the entertainment of white people. It's into this world at this time that these people, the Fisk Jubilee Singers, go out to sing. And they're not singing folk songs about rural life or memories of the war. They're singing African-American spirituals like Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's never been done. Their parents, knowing the danger and the prejudice and the violence that they would and did face, were terrified to let them go. And I was reading more about, please read more about everything I talk about today. Like, it's so interesting. As I was reading, even the singers of this group, many of them had doubts about bringing their music to this population of people because it harkened back to a painful history and those songs were sacred. But they went. Town after town, performance after performance, mountain after mountain. And they succeeded. And their money saved Fisk University. They would go on to perform for the president, for kings and queens. Their courage preserved this university. It's still going strong today. So are the Fisk Jubilee Singers. That would educate generations of leaders, scholars, artists, organizers, theologians. These singers, knowing they might not be welcome, knowing that they would be mocked, dismissed, in danger, went and sang. Sang freedom into rooms that didn't want to hear it. Sang dignity into systems designed to erase it. Those are some beautiful feet on some very scary mountains. I'm telling this story today because I think it highlights a truth we all need reminded of, and we need reminded of it often. That we can sing Jesus Christ is born. We can even say that justice has come. But justice is something we must also do. Those singers, 7 of the 9, were formerly enslaved themselves. Many of them were teenagers. And when they went, when they moved their feet and they performed their songs. They were doing so much more than just saying Jesus. They were doing so much more than just singing justice. They were creating it. Because they did, the university stayed open. Because it stayed open, its mission in the beginning was to teach emancipated people how to count their wages, how to learn to write their new and chosen names, and how to learn to read the Bible and the ballot. Fisk became the first African-American institution accredited by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. And from Fisk came leaders whose work still shapes our world. I'm going to read just some. W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, Ida B. Wells, Charles Spurgeon Johnson. Because these nine people sang, "Go Tell It on the Mountain," and their singing did justice. They created a more equitable world, a less prejudiced world. What I hope settles into our heart through this story today is that just as the birth of Jesus and justice are one idea, you can't separate them. Just like Luke and Isaiah are one thought, so telling the good news and acting the good news are one thought. They can't be separated. If you haven't heard this name, I want you to write it down. I'm serious. Even if you have heard it and know a lot about this person, would you write it down so the person who is next to you doesn't feel stupid writing it down? Here's the name. Fannie Lou Hamer. Hamer. Do you want, it's spelled. It's spelled right there. The last chapter of this song story I'm going to share with you today is about her. I have listened to so many of her speeches in the past week. I would really encourage you to go learn more, however you like to learn. She's brilliant. She's the person who said for the first time, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." She's so cool. Fannie Lou Hamer was born in 1917. She was the youngest of 20 children. I have two. I'm tired. Okay. 20 children in post-Reconstruction Mississippi. Her parents were sharecroppers, and they picked cotton for a white plantation owner. Fannie Lou joined them in the fields when she was 6 years old, part-time. She was full-time in the fields when she was 12. She married in 1944, and her and her husband wanted to start a family. But in 1961, this is just part of these stories. In 1961, a white doctor subjected her to a hysterectomy without her knowledge or consent. A common practice in Mississippi then. In 1962, at the age of 44, Fannie Lou Hamer attended a meeting hosted by the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. And for the first time in her life, at the age of 44, she heard that black people had the right to vote. The very next day, she's cool, the very next day, she joined 17 neighbors on a bus to drive and attempt to register to vote. Most of that group was blocked from even trying. She was allowed to fill out an application and take a literacy test, which was rigged because the literacy tests were rigged. She failed it. I think she took it like 3 times until she passed it. She's amazing. But on her way home from that trip, the driver of their bus was pulled over and arrested. Do you want to know why? The bus that these people who were attempting to register to vote, their legal right, was too yellow. While the bus driver was being arrested and everyone on the bus was detained, Fannie Lou Hamer began to sing. She sang "This Little Light of Mine," and she sang "Go Tell It on the Mountain." But she changed the words. She combined it with another spiritual, "Go Down Moses." Later, she gives a speech, and she explains it this way. She said, "Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." We used to sing it that way, but now we change this song. Now we sing, "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, let my people go." To the lyrics, which already referenced and paired together Luke and Isaiah, Fannie Lou Hamer adds this story from Exodus of the God of justice setting his people free from Egypt. And then she goes on to add another verse about Paul and Silas in Acts 16 breaking out of prison. And then she adds her own verse, which I love. We're going to, at the end of service today, as you're walking out or meeting each other, we're going to play her version of this song. She added, "I had a little book he gave to me, the Bible, Let My People Go. And every page spelled victory, Let My People Go." We have a tendency, especially if we've been around the Christmas story for a long time, to soften it. And I say we because me too. We take the story of Jesus coming and we make it precious and simple and we box it into one silent night and one baby being born and one season that we pack away with a Christmas tree. What Go Tell It on the Mountain does is it reminds us that Jesus coming is so much more than this. That Jesus coming is more than a soft and precious story. That Jesus coming is rough and real and relevant every day to every people. And the reason that Go Tell It on the Mountain can hold so many stories at once, it's holding Exodus and Isaiah, Luke's and Acts. It's holding stories of enslavement and emancipation. It's holding stories from the civil rights movement. The reason it can hold all of those stories at once is because the truth that lies underneath the lyrics of Go Tell It on the Mountain does not change. And I think this is what Fannie Lou Hamer means when she says, every page spells victory. In every story of Scripture, she saw that Jesus was setting things right. She saw that our God is the kind of God who brings mountains low and valleys high. On every page of Scripture, she heard the good news from the mountaintop that her God had come and her God was bringing justice and her God was calling her to act that justice, to participate in it. Every story we have about how God moves in our world, how God invites us to move in the world, at its core, has this common thread running through it. Jesus Christ is born. Justice has come, and because Jesus Christ is born and justice has come, we are changed and we're called to co-create change around us. Justice comes, we see it, we tell it, we do it. Amen? As we close today, I want to pray for your feet. Will you join me? God, protect and direct these feet. Lead these feet to places of true community, places that comfort and challenge, places of healing and growth. Clothe these feet in bravery. Bravery that stands up after being knocked down, that keeps moving when it's tired, that keeps hoping when the climb is steep. Make these feet strong enough to carry the weight of others when needed. Make these feet sure when the path feels overwhelming and lonely and confusing. And make our feet beautiful, God, as we go, as we follow, as we tell, as we help co-create the kind of freedom that is one and the same as your coming, Jesus. Amen.
Tell it on the mountain.
Thanks, guys. Hi. We're about to go. Brian's going to be right up here. Brian's a very good prayer, I can attest. Brian has prayed with me in a hospital room. He's very good at that kind of prayer. If you're hurting today in one way or another, if you have people in your life that you're just carrying, Brian would be a great person to come pray with right now. And challenge for you, Brian. Challenge for you. If you're looking for a way to take your justice and do it, and you're not sure how, prayer's a great place to start. And I bet Brian's good at that too. You up for it? Okay. Also, we do have catalogs of what's coming up in January. There's lots of things, like so many things that St. Luke's does, where you can take your feet and start moving them up the mountain. And if we all do it together, I think we could change the world. So take your beautiful feet. Have yourselves an awesome day. We're going to listen to this song, but please feel free to chill and listen, leave, pray, dance. I don't know what you do. Amen.
Oh, tell it on.